And they all buy it. I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
Then the bus driver's gonna get in trouble.
I didn't recognize you.
And neither is the second.
Did you said you were, did you have to bring that?
I said, I'll look at it.
And you did.
And I did.
It's doing something.
Top priority. Well, I can see some.
Yeah.
Well, good morning. It's great to be back in Palm Beach County here in Palm Beach Island. I'm going to make some remarks, and we are going to hear from Haley Robson and Genelisa Cordovez, who were, both victims of Jeffrey Epstein back in the day. And, they say that justice delayed is justice denied. And I think in many respects, this whole ordeal has proven that to be true. We came in as governor back in 2019, and I know there was a lot of questions about what happened down here. How did you end up with this situation where you had basically a sweetheart deal? And then, of course, it did lead to this bubbling back up at the end of last decade. But the reality is the investigation was largely stymied because you didn't have access to the grand jury materials. And so we were looking and saying, okay, well, there's not much we can do. Clearly, there was legal fights about that. But I think the legislature and I agreed that there needs to be a mechanism in some of these rare circumstances where people can get the truth and where we can try to pursue justice. And so we're now sitting here decades later, and you've had Epstein, and then Maxwell is actually in prison in Florida, and yet nothing else has ever happened with any of this. How is that possible given the magnitude of what was going on? And what was going on in Florida was only a fraction of what was happening, because you had activities and abuse in New York City, in the Virgin Islands, and this was a massive, massive operation here that was targeting these very, very young girls. And to not have justice on this is something that has been a big black spot on our justice system. So the legislature, and why did that happen? Well, it happened because, you had somebody that was very rich and well-connected and was able to engineer an outcome that the average citizen would likely never have been able to do, and that's wrong. So what they're doing with this, the legislation I'm going to sign is going to say, and there are certain in Florida law now exceptions to the secrecy of the grand jury, and it's right that, and we have very strong grand jury secrecy laws overall. You go in, those are people testifying, they're not subject to cross-examination. There's reason why you don't just put that out publicly. But in certain circumstances, if someone is in the trial and a witness stand in trial and they're saying things that conflict with their grand jury testimony, you can use it. There's always been certain circumstances. And one is, if justice demands, well, this bill says that in a situation like this, that this is in the interest of justice to disclose it. So this would green light. I know there's been a lot of litigation on this, but this would green light the disclosure of the grand jury materials regarding the Jeffrey Epstein case. And this is long overdue. But again, we feel that we can't just turn a blind eye. We've got to do. So I'm going to sign HB 117. It will allow the disclosure of grand jury testimony in this Jeffrey Epstein case. And if there were cases similar, if the subject of the inquiry is dead, if the investigation's about sexual assault with a minor, sexual activity with a minor, if the testimony was previously disclosed by a court order, and if the state attorney is notified. And so this is going to affect perhaps more than just this case, but a relatively small number of cases. And so we're happy in Florida to be leading the effort for transparency and for accountability, because what happened was clearly wrong, and the punishment was simply wholly inadequate to the crime. And I know people have seen that for many, many years now. So I thank the legislature for doing this. I'm glad that we have a couple of the victims who've agreed to come and talk about this legislation. And so I want to invite them up. So first we'll start with Haley to come up, and then we'll hear from Jenna Lisa.
Thank you, Governor. My name is Haley Robson. A lot of you might have heard me if you've been following the Jeffrey Epstein story. I just want to reiterate what our governor has spoken on about this being a long time overdue. I can't express enough how we've all been so affected by this. And I know for the regular average citizen, it's just time that goes by. A lot of people tend to forget, but this is not something we should be forgetting about. This is not something to be sweeping under the rug. A lot of us are still in therapy. We're still trying to survive. I can't express the gratitude I have for this bill. Sorry.
It's okay.
I never thought that this would be in our cards, but as I stand here today, I just want to thank all the people that believed in us, our attorneys, our therapists, everybody who came to support this bill, our amazing governor. I just am trying to put pieces together, the final pieces of this puzzle to help me move on and finally get the peace that I deserve for my life. And I am just so grateful. And I would really just want to know, why was Jeffrey Epstein given such grace and mercy for his inhumane crimes? And why were we so outed in the media and treated so poorly? Victim shaming in this high profile case has damaged a lot of us. It has made us retract statements. It's made us internalize the trauma. And a lot of us are just trying to still find our way through our healing journey. And I just want to remind everybody to please be kind. We are all still struggling with this, and we just want to understand what happened. So thank you.
Good job. Okay. All right, Jenna Lisa.
Thank you, Governor. My name is Jenna Lisa, and I am one of many, many victims of Epstein's. I was one of dozens, if not hundreds, of children abused by Epstein for over a decade. We have had no closure whatsoever on what has happened with these crimes. Epstein was charged for his crimes in 2006, and we are finally going to learn why. We have been left in the dark for so long with no answers to what is going on and why things played out the way that they did. It would have saved literally hundreds of girls from being put in a position that none of us ever wanted to be put in. We are so, so very grateful to get a little bit more answers and pray that more justice comes out of this. And we couldn't be more proud that we're getting this for the first time ever. I mean, really, seriously, first time. So thank you. Seriously.
Absolutely. All right. Well, whoever wants to come up, we'll make it official right here. Today, leap year? 29? Okay. All right, so that's in the books. Long time coming. We're happy to take questions. You know, both of the women are willing to also entertain some questions, and so just let us know. Chris?
Yes, thank you, Governor DeSantis. First, I'd love to hear from from some of you, the two ladies. What will this mean to you, and do you think you're finally going to get answers? And then I had a question for the governor, too, if that's okay.
Go ahead, get in front of the mic.
I think that my journey is very different from some of the other victims. It's very unfortunate. I think I was categorized in some places I didn't belong. And I think that with these documents coming out, it's going to shed light to what I've known this entire time. And I'm just really excited to see what is and what is not going to be in these documents. And I think it's going to be groundbreaking.
And Governor, thanks.
Sorry.
The prosecutor who gave this sweetheart deal was a man named Alexander Acosta. He was later appointed to be Donald Trump's Secretary of Labor. I'm just wondering why you decided not to make that an issue in the presidential primary. And I also wanted to know what you think about Laura Trump becoming the RNC chair.
Well, on these documents released will perhaps shed some light on, because I think a lot of people may not remember that this was a deal that was really engineered with the Southern District of Florida, the U.S. attorney, or the federal. The case was not brought federally, which I think there would have been an ability to do that. Instead, they converted it into the state, which where the charges were relatively minor, and obviously the punishment was effectively a slap on the wrist given the severity of the crimes. So that has been a question I think a lot of people have had. This was something that was really scrutinized at the latter part of last decade. I mean, it got a lot of media attention. Clearly, the secretary at the time was under pressure, and that really caused him a lot of problems with remaining in office. So that's kind of been vetted on that. And in terms of, and I did say during the presidential campaign that the federal Epstein file should be released, and I was committed to do that. I would challenge Joe Biden to do that now. I think a lot of these victims would appreciate that, because there's still a lot of unanswered questions about how this happened. Yes, sir.
Yes, Governor. It was in addition to getting knowledge what these papers might release, is it also possible that this could lead to either more civil action or more criminal charges? And if it's a statute of limitations issue, would you be willing to go to the legislature to try to extend it the way it was done in many states with the Catholic Church and the various...
Yeah, look, I think we would be interested in figuring out how to pursue justice. It is important. This is a rare circumstance. There very well may be actionable items that fall within the statute of limitations. Many of them may not. And then we'll have to see kind of how all that shakes out. But I'm open to being able to institute policies that are gonna try to right a wrong, because this was not handled in a way that delivered what justice required. And I hear the women talk about never having closure, I mean, just think about that. Like, bad things happen in this world. It's terrible. But if you have something and someone does something wrong and you throw the book at them and they get justice meted out, it can never undo what happened. But you do feel a sense, it does help, right? And they never had that. And that's why I think it's been difficult for a lot of them for many years.
Governor DeSantis, I know that there's a process to all of this. So what happens now that you have signed this?
Well, so this goes into effect on July 1st. That's typically what the legislature does when they do legislation. So that'll be the law of the land. And so this will be, you can petition to get this released. And the law as written now will effectively compel it to release. If a judge wouldn't do it, you would be able to appeal and get that overturned based on the text of this new law. So I think that's a positive thing.
Governor, how soon do you think, going off that, how soon do you think we can start to see some documents?
Well, I don't know. I mean, this is not a huge undertaking in terms of what we're talking about here. We're talking about one jurisdiction primarily where this is going to be done. So I don't think it should take forever and a day. I think the legal hurdles will be cleared. And look, I mean, when you're dealing with grand jury material, there's a lot of sensitivity with that, even for the custodian of it. Even if that person may think some of this stuff has public interest, there are laws in place. So I get that. Well, now we've cleared the road for this. And so this should be something that happens very quickly. And hopefully that we get more answers. You guys have anything more to say?
I have a question for you.
For me?
Even though I'm not part of the media. My question for you is, in regards to the documentation that you just signed on the bill for them to be released, is there any information in those documents that's going to be filtered, or are those documents going to be released as is, protecting the victims?
So there is a possibility that a judge could order certain things redacted. That is possible, but I think it's structured in a way where that's disfavored. So, but that could be something that could be litigated. But I think by and large, it's erring on the side of disclosure, and that's just basically how the legislature decided to structure it, because this is not just applying to Epstein. I mean, this is something that's on the books now in the state of Florida going forward. I mean, it could be used in the Catholic Church situation. You could absolutely have that if you had somebody that was abused decades ago, and there had been a grand jury investigation that was unsatisfactory. You would be able to potentially, and the perpetrator, alleged perpetrator, had been deceased, then you can go in with that too. So it's not just for that. So I think they structured it with that in mind. All right. Well, thanks, everybody. Thanks for coming out.
Thank you so much. Thank you.